Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already surpassed the legacy of most presidents who have served 2 terms in office.
Fact check. True. Well done.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why I came here.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It ain't right.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
But it could be worse.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast that's heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest, and China Lake, California. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, and Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day for your listening pleasure. On the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, and Detour Talk, not to mention most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Boy, howdy. We got another show today, don't we, Desi Doyen?
Well, I don't think we can avoid it. And my goodness, there's been some things happening around here lately.
Yeah, as you might imagine, we had 2 or 3 different shows that we had thought we might be doing today, particularly following Donald Trump's disastrous, at least in my opinion, more than 90-minute so-called acceptance speech and rally ramble at the closing night of the Republican National Convention on Thursday. But as you may have heard, there have been a few additional twists and turns since then, and since we last spoke to you near the end of last week, which I am very much looking to open the phones to you to discuss at 818-985-5735. If you happen to be listening worldwide via our live kpfk.org web stream, or if you're listening in our live Southern California listening area, that's 818-985-KPFK. If you'd like to line up now or get in early, if you can guess what we're going to talk about. After the past 3 weeks of nearly unprecedented turmoil in the presidential race, and more twists and turns than I can count at this point, including, yes, that big one on Sunday. Writer Alex Nazarian observed on Twitter Sunday evening, quote, "At this point, an October surprise would have to involve space aliens."
I like that.
And, of course, as I warned him, be careful what you wish for, Alex, at this point. for now, no space aliens yet, but one of the most disastrously bad acceptance speeches in National Political Party convention history by Donald Trump on Thursday night. And President Joe Biden announced on Sunday, oh yeah, he would be dropping out of the 2024 presidential race. It was an announcement that reportedly even many of his closest advisors did not know would be occurring until it actually did. That announcement, posted to Twitter, was quickly followed up with the president's endorsement about 30 minutes later of his vice president, Kamala Harris, to take his place at the top of the Democrats' 2024 ticket. And that is where we're largely going to focus on with you today, if you would like to ring in at 818-985-KPFK. But I just want to make sure, just so it doesn't get too lost quickly amid all of the news that followed it. You know, we have been talking with our frequent guest, Heather Digby Parton, on this program over the past week, past 2 weeks, about her suggestion that if Joe Biden decided to drop out of the presidential race, she wanted to see him do it last Thursday, at the same time that Trump was set to give his triumphant post-assassination attempt acceptance speech on Thursday night at the RNC, to sort of Bigfoot that news as much as possible with Biden's own news, his own arguably bigger news, just to sort of, you know, stab Trump in the back as much as possible. In the end, Biden did not do that, which, at least in my opinion, actually turned out to be a very smart move, because Trump's speech was so bad and so self-serving and such an excellent reminder for America about Donald Trump's previous term that I think many people have understandably spent the last 4 years or so trying to forget. So I just want to make sure that they don't forget it. You know, I hope they did see what Donald Trump had to say in his record long and frankly record boring 93-minute acceptance speech in Milwaukee at the RNC on Thursday night. Among other things, he lied about immigrants to this country, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans each year. He promised there would be mass deportations, the largest deportations in American history. He said that he would protect Social Security and Medicare while Democrats would try to destroy Social Security and Medicare. He said that he will end inflation entirely. And he just went on and on and on with all this sorts of stuff and nonsense. And that's what I had been hoping to discuss with you today. But just days later, as we warned might be the case over this past weekend on Sunday afternoon, President Biden made it official. He was, in fact, both dropping out of the race and, as I had recommended in a short piece at bradblog.com, which I'm sure he read, which I had posted the day after his disastrous debate performance last month. Immediately, he endorsed his vice presidential running mate, Kamala Harris, to take over at the top of the ticket. In a one-page letter to the American people posted on Sunday afternoon, President Biden said, after touting his rather extraordinary record as president, quote, "It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president, and while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to step down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term." He went on to promise that he would, quote, "speak to the nation later this week in more detail about that decision." And then about 30 minutes later, he posted to Twitter again to say, quote, "My fellow Democrats, I have decided not to accept the nomination and to focus all my energies on my duties as president for the remainder of my term. My first decision as the party nominee in 2020 was to pick Kamala Harris as my vice president. And," he said, "it's been the best decision I've made. Today, I want to offer my full support and endorsement for Kamala to be the nominee of our party this year. Democrats," he concluded, "it's time to come together and beat Trump. Let's do this," he said. Support for both his decision to step aside and his endorsement of Kamala Harris came very quickly thereafter. The House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries praised Biden as, quote, "one of the most accomplished and consequential leaders in American history," saying that in less than one term, he rescued the nation from a once in a century pandemic, brought the economy roaring back to the brink from the brink of recession, enacted consequential legislation for everyday Americans, and saved our democracy by defeating the insurrectionist in chief. House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, among those who had been nudging Biden out of the race over the past several weeks, called Biden, quote, "a patriotic American who has always put our country first," unquote, said his legacy will make him one of the most consequential presidents in America, one of the most consequential presidents in American history. I believe she is correct. Former President Barack Obama called Biden, his former vice president, quote, one of America's most consequential presidents, as well as a dear friend. Former President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton thanked Biden, quote, for all he has accomplished and threw their support behind Kamala Harris, saying they will, quote, do whatever we can to support her. Quote, now is the time to support Kamala Harris and fight with everything we've got to elect her, they added. America's future depends on it, they said. Allied leaders from around the world also came in with support for Joe Biden on the news. Amongst them, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese thanked Biden for his leadership, said the alliance between their two countries, quote, has never been stronger. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, yes, that's his name, he acknowledged the difficult decision that Biden had made and said, quote, Poland, America, and the world are safer and democracy stronger because of the U.S. president. The Czech Republic's prime minister called Biden's move a, quote, decision of a statesman who has served his country for decades, calling the president's announcement, quote, a responsible and personally difficult step, which makes it more valuable. And Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky joined in the praise for the president, posting a statement on Twitter noting, quote, Ukraine is grateful to President Biden for his unwavering support for Ukraine's fight for freedom. Many strong decisions have been made in recent years, and they will be remembered as bold steps taken by President Biden in response to challenging times. And we respect today's tough but strong decision. Zelensky added, quote, we will always be thankful to President Biden's leadership. He supported our country during the most dramatic moment in history, assisted us from in preventing Vladimir Putin from occupying our country, and has continued to support us throughout this terrible war. For her part, on Sunday, Vice President Kamala Harris responded briefly to the president's announcement, saying, quote, I will do everything in my power to unite the Democratic Party and unite our nation to defeat Donald Trump and his extreme Project 2025 agenda. And on Monday, at the White House, Kamala Harris took Joe Biden's place. Joe Biden, as you know, is recovering from COVID. She took his place in honoring NCAA college sports champions. In her first remarks, public remarks in any event, since Joe Biden dropped out of the race on Sunday, here's what she had to say outside the White House on Monday.
Our president, Joe Biden, wanted to be here today. He is feeling much better and recovering fast, and he looks forward to getting back on the road. And I wanted to say a few words about our president. Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already, yes, you may clap. In one term, he has already surpassed the legacy of most presidents who have served two terms in office. And I first came to know President Biden through his son, Beau. We worked together as attorneys general in our states. And back then, Beau would often tell me stories about his dad. He would talk about the kind of father and the kind of man that Joe Biden is. The qualities that Beau revered in his father are the same qualities that I have seen every day in our president. His honesty, his integrity, his commitment to his faith and his family, his big heart, and his love, deep love of our country. And I am firsthand witness that every day our President Joe Biden fights for the American people, and we are deeply, deeply grateful for his service to our nation.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris at the White House on Monday following Joe Biden's announcement that he would be stepping out of the 2024 presidential race and was endorsing Vice President Harris to take over at the top of the ticket. It was not long before, according to sources at Reuters, all 50 Democratic Party state chairs threw their weight behind Vice President Kamala Harris to be the party's new presidential nominee. The chairs reportedly held a conference call on Sunday after Biden's announcement that he was stepping aside, with one source telling Reuters that there was, quote, full support in backing Harris to be at the top of the ticket. And both the praise for Biden and, more important politically for the moment, endorsements for Harris have been pouring in ever since all day on Monday from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who said, "It is with immense pride and limitless optimism for our country that I endorse Vice President Kamala Harris for President of the United States." And a whole bunch of House members, a whole bunch of senators, including Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Chris Coons of Delaware, Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, they have all jumped on the bandwagon in endorsing Kamala Harris. And it wasn't just top elected leaders in Washington. More than half of the pledged Democratic delegates who have essentially been released to vote as they wish at the National Convention in Chicago next month, they have now told AP or have announced as of Monday afternoon that they plan to support Harris at the convention just 1 month from now. That is over half of the pledged delegates that she would need in order to clinch the nomination. DNC rules currently require 1,976 pledged delegates as the benchmark to win the nomination. Moreover, a whole bunch of folks thought to be potential contenders for the presidency, many of whom are also considered now to be top picks for Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, have rung in to endorse her if she becomes the party's candidate. That it would include Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, Maryland Governor Wes Moore, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, all endorsing the vice president, leaving a dwindling list of potential rivals to Harris at next month's convention, if any show up at all. She also quickly won the endorsements from the leadership of a bunch of influential caucuses and political organizations, including the AAPI Victory Fund, which focuses on Asian American and Pacific Islander votes, the Collective PAC, which is focused on building Black political power, the Latino Victory Fund, as well as the chairs of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and the entire Congressional Black Caucus, which had been pushing hard for Biden to stay in the race until his announcements on Sunday, all of them now endorsing Kamala Harris, who, if elected, would be the first woman and the first person of South Asian descent to be president. Also, money from small donors is said to have come pouring in following the announcement on Sunday, including some $50 million reportedly donated via Act Blue in the 15 hours following the announcement, as the Biden for President campaign's name was officially changed on Sunday at the FEC to the Harris for President campaign. And I just checked before we went on air here, that number is actually now $81 million. In the past 24 hours, that is a record for a presidential contest. So there's an old joke about Democrats. Actually, it's a joke about the media, who, no matter what Democrats do, no matter how much they may be working together, no matter how much chaos may reign supreme over on the Republican side of the aisle, the media love to run the headline, "Democrats in disarray." Well, if you ask me, as of Monday at least, those headlines ought to read "Democrats in array," because they all seem, at least as of this hour, to be lining up behind the nomination of Kamala Harris following Biden's announcement that he was dropping out and supporting her as the next president of the United States.
Oh, but don't worry. I am sure that the corporate media will find plenty of things to attack Kamala Harris
on. Plenty of, and they'll make up disarray.
Of course.
Disarray or not.
They need the drama. They need the clicks. They need the ratings. And, you know, hey, they were bored. You know, Trump is whatever they say he is, but they don't like talking about that. So they want to talk about the Democrats in internal disruption.
Now, for my part, talking about Democrats and the eternal disruption, despite all of the Sturm und Drang amid Biden's debate performance and his clear physical, if not mental, decline, that, you know, Joe Biden was still, nonetheless, in my opinion, well-positioned to beat Donald Trump this fall. I see Harris's chances of defeating Trump to be at least as good as his, and frankly, arguably slightly better, particularly as she will, in theory, be, you know, able to be much more agile in her ability to take on Donald Trump's nonsense directly. Desi Doyen, I don't know. How do you feel about it? Before we get to the phones on this, how do you feel about it after that news on Sunday?
Well, you know, I think that when we're looking at Biden and that disastrous debate performance, I think the issues were that he has two jobs. You know, he had two jobs. One is campaigning for president. The other is being president. He chose to do the more important job of being president, which I think, you know, as his... His legacy shows he has been one of the most effective presidents in modern history.
And I see no reason to think he can't be president.
Right.
Being president, you got a whole team. You got hundreds of people who are working for you and with you.
Yeah. And when you look at, for example, just his performance at the NATO press conference recently, in which he was able to display his extraordinary depth of knowledge and relationships with foreign leaders and just with, you know, history.
But going out on the stump is a different deal.
Exactly.
And this is sort of a response to some of the Republicans who said, well, if he's not in good enough health to run for president, then he's not good enough health to be president. Completely false. Completely two different jobs, as
right.
Desi says.
Yeah. And you know, but the other thing that I think that, you know, so I think that for Biden, you know, obviously it was his choice to decide to withdraw. That's an extremely patriotic move, in my opinion, for him to say, listen, you know, I could continue, but personally, I think it's better that I don't. And then by endorsing Harris. Now, I think that there are lots of pitfalls that could face the Democrats going ahead in this particular pathway. But this is the pathway that they've chosen.
As I said when I wrote about it, the day after the debate, almost a month ago now, yes, it would be a risky move.
Yes.
But presidential elections are always risky. And frankly, I'm not sure if it's any more risky going with Kamala Harris than it would be sticking with Joe Biden, who is, you know, clearly having physical impediments just being able to keep up with all of this, even as much as he has been doing.
Yeah.
So the polling we have to date would seem to bear my argument out that her chances of beating Donald Trump are at least as good, if not better, than Joe Biden's, with a Washington Post average of 11 different post-debate polls, finding Trump edging out Harris, according to those polls, by an average of 1.5 percentage points nationally, which is slightly less than the 1.9 point lead that Donald Trump has over Biden in those same polls on average. But I would caution against taking much of anything from those numbers at this point, where you had a lot of Democrats who might have wanted to see someone other than Biden running on the Democratic side, telling pollsters, therefore, that they did not support Biden. While Biden supporters in those polls might have been inclined to say that they did not support Harris because they hoped to keep Biden in the race. So, you know, I think it'll be a few more days before we get high quality polls where voters are really able to begin focusing on what is shaping up, at least, to be the real choice in the election, most likely between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. As David Kurtz notes in his Morning Memo newsletter today, quote, "The only two things that we know with any certainty at this moment are, one, we will have a different president come January than we do now. And two, if the Democrats lose the White House, the what ifs of recrimination and second guessing over the 2024 presidential campaign will last the rest of our natural lives."
That is true and painful to think about.
And to that end, I would love to hear from you about all of this. 818-985-5735 if you're in our live Southern California listening area. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we opened the phones in the wake of President Biden's disastrous debate performance against Donald Trump. And I was actually really surprised to hear from so many of you who were angry about the idea that Joe Biden should get out of the race. Well, he's out of the race. I'd love to hear from some of you who had wanted Biden to stay in. How do you now feel about his decision to get out and his endorsement of Kamala Harris? And for those who wanted Biden to get out, how are you feeling about his decision today, including his endorsement of Harris? I suspect there are some who'd like to see someone different altogether at the top of the ticket. If so, I'd love to hear from you as well. But you'll have to explain to me how such a choice would even be feasible at this point. You know, I would add 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. I would add that, you know, I, too, might like to see someone different at the top of the ticket this year if there was a year-long primary process to have that out. But that is not the world that we live in. We're about 100 days now from when the first early votes will, you know, be cast in this election for the November 5 election. And given that, I am looking at, as I did on the day after the debate last month in my article at bradblog.com, calling for Biden, if he decided to drop out, to release his delegates and immediately endorse Harris and a vice presidential running mate, which Biden has not yet done. But I'm looking at, you know, what we realistically have to deal with at this very late date and how those who support liberal democracy over Donald Trump's promised autocracy might best proceed. Also, I'd like to hear from all of you, I guess. I'd love to hear from people who would like to see who you might like to see as her vice presidential pick, because that's going to be really key here, as I noted in my article the day after the debate. There's a really deep bench from which Democrats can choose here, but as I noted, my own personal preference about who I think would be the most effective running mate for her would be California Governor Gavin Newsom. That I know, they're both from California, so it would require constitutionally Kamala Harris to change her residency to D.C., where she has lived for the past 4 years, something akin to what Dick Cheney did when he pretended he came from Wyoming to run with George W. Bush, both from Texas. But I think Newsom would make a great choice because he has been tested against national fire. As a matter of fact, both he and Treasury Secretary Pete Buttigieg have proven that they can walk into Fox News. They can walk into the Fox News den and not only take that fire, but give it back in return, which could really be valuable for the Democratic ticket. And it avoids learning later on that a candidate who might be great on paper maybe isn't up to the incoming fire and the bright spotlight of a national campaign. But never mind what I think about it. What do you think? That's what I'd love to hear. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Give us a ring. We'll take a quick break here and cue things up. Your calls is next at yet another unprecedented, extraordinary moment in American history. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
A young American.
Young American, young American. She was the young American.
Well, she's certainly
she was the young American.
Oh, she's certainly a younger American than the other guy that she is replacing, or at least that the other guy hopes will replace him on the presidential ticket. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Going to get to your calls, 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735 if you are in our live listening area. Let me go actually straight to them. This is Ish. Is that the way it's pronounced? Ish in Riverside. Hey, Ish, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, Ish. There we go. We got you, Ish. Go ahead. Please start over.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, no worries. Happy Monday. Thank you guys for taking my call. You know, just a quick point before jumping into it, if that's all right. You guys mentioned the corporate media and Trump. Like, I'm still dumbfounded that nobody, MSNBC, CNN, nobody has really kind of challenged him. This dude said that doctors are, quote, aborting babies after after they are born, which is just nuts. It's bonkers, and nobody's covering that.
So, well, you know, there is so much, not to come to their defense, but there is so much that he lies about with such brazen speed that, you know, it's called the Gish Gallop, where you just put out so much stuff and nonsense that it becomes impossible to fact check them. So I have seen some fact checks on that, but you know, you're right. It's sort of let stand too often by the media, and so yeah, I take your point.
Yeah, no doubt. But really, what I want to call in is, like, you know, I was on the fence, kind of either way. You know, I did vote for Biden in 2020, and the presidency, it ages you. And you know, I jokingly, you know, say that Barack Obama went into the presidency looking like JJ from Good Times and left looking like Bill Russell, you know, from the Celtics. And the amount that Joe Biden got done, my goodness, you know, it aged him. So there's no shame in him stepping aside. Yeah. No shame whatsoever. He's done a lot.
All right. And now, who would you like to see as her? So assuming you're supporting Kamala here?
Well, so, you know, obviously I haven't made up my mind yet. Uh-huh. With the screener I mentioned, you know, I'd like to see a more broad inclusivity. You know, I don't want it to be sort of this binary thing. And specifically with two major groups, I think we need more Hispanic representation, and I'll get to that in a second, and also more Asian representation in government, because that's what the country's looking like, and it's going to be looking like, you know, in the decades to come. So to answer your question, it may be a long shot, but I would put my hat in the ring for Senator Alex Padilla to be the running mate.
Except he has shown absolutely no predilection at all for wanting to run. I don't know if he is part of the group who has yet endorsed Kamala Harris. He could certainly, I guess, be for vice president. Would you like to see Padilla as vice president?
That's what I'm saying. Ah. Yeah, for vice president. Apologize. Reason being, like you mentioned, you know, usually that leader, the person that's saying, oh, pick me, usually that's the one where you don't want to pick. And like, to your point, like, he's not asking for it. You know, I mean, that's kind of a leader that you want to choose.
Okay. That said, I'll only ring in to say that Alex Padilla was the former Secretary of State of California, and he was a terrible Secretary of State of California. That's all I'm saying. Let me go to, thanks for that call, Ish. Greatly appreciate it. Let me go to Linda in Los Angeles. Linda, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi. How are you guys?
Oh, hanging in there. How are you?
I love your show, and I'm always listening. I am a KPFK fanatic.
God love you, Linda. Thank you.
I do listen to the other side as long as I can take it, then I have to cut it off. I just can't take it too long.
I got you.
But anyway, I'm very glad that, you know, President Biden was able to step down. I know that Irish fighting blood in him didn't want to, and it took him a long time to do it.
Yeah.
I would like to see the Democrats be more proactive earlier, because, I mean, now we've got 3 months, we've got 100 days to make this thing happen, and it is happening. I mean, they're raising the money and everything, but, you know, if they could have gotten President Biden to step down earlier, you know, we wouldn't have to be scrambling so hard. I think a good example of that would be with Ginsburg, when, you know, the Supreme Court, we knew she was ill.
Yeah.
You know, let's get her to step down, and we could have put someone in that spot. You know, but yeah. we didn't get her to step down, so she ended up dying. Guess who got to put someone
yeah.
in?
Yeah, and, you know, so people do not want to give yeah. up power. When they have that kind of power, I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just observing. I suspect it's very difficult to want to step down as a Supreme Court justice in a case like that. It's very difficult to want to step down as president of the United States.
But wouldn't you think... the consequences of not doing it.
Yeah.
I guess we never look at the fact that we thought that, you know, Trump would ever win, you know, and be able to, no. But the fact of the matter is, with that much power, you should also understand the consequences of losing it.
Yeah.
You know, if when we don't yep. make proactive decisions. So I just would like to see, you know, the Democrats act more swiftly. And, you know, I know they're united and they're moving fastly and everything is looking really good, but he's going to do everything he can to, you know, dog this woman out. But I tell you what, she's a pit bull,
yeah.
and she'll fight.
Well,
and I think she's a better choice, you know, to fight with someone like him.
Well, listen, and I will just say, this was not a choice of the Democrats, so to speak. This was a choice of President Biden. He was the one who had to make the decision. He was the one who ran for re-election. He was the one who got 14 million votes during the primary. No other Democratic candidates of note stepped up to run during those primaries. And so that was the choice that, you know, that everyone made. In one sense, it was a good idea. It was, you know, that he felt he needed to shake things up and pushed for an earlier debate. So, listen, this could have happened in October or November, that debate. And, you know, so I think there's something to be said for the fact that, well, there are still more than 100 days. And I'll tell you, the Democrats that I have heard from over the past 24 mm-hmm. hours seem to be energized, seem to be excited about this this change. And as you see, the money is coming pouring in. So
So
and we don't need. Do we need a year long? Election
no.
in any event.
It's way too long as it is.
Right.
We're all exhausted by the time it gets over in January. We're just exhausted.
Thanks.
So no, we don't.
Yeah, and rest up because it may be even longer than January. We're fighting this one.
And I'm going to be right there volunteering at the polls, doing my part as well.
God love you. Thanks, Linda. I really appreciate that call. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I will note that the four-time criminally indicted and 34-time criminally convicted Donald Trump seems to be trying to get out of a debate himself now with California's former Attorney General and prosecutor turned vice president, now potential presidential nominee, Kamala Harris. On Sunday, shortly after Biden's announcement that he'd be dropping out and endorsing Harris, Trump tweeted at his dumb social media site, quote, "My debate with crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, was slated to be broadcast on fake news ABC, the home of George Slopodopoulos, sometime in September. Now that Joe has, not surprisingly, has quit the race," yes, he said has twice, "I think the debate with whomever the radical left Democrats choose should be held on Fox News rather than the very biased ABC." Is Donald Trump trying to get out of this thing? Oh, and shoot, I forgot to ask Linda who she wanted for vice president. Anyway, 818-985-KPFK. Your thoughts on Joe dropping out, endorsing Kamala, and who you might like to see named as her running mate. 818-985-5735. Let's go to, Murdaugh in Irvine. Is that... do I have that?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Murdaugh?
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, very good. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm a registered Democrat, but I was not aware of any primary, and I don't know who are those 14 million people voted for the ticket. We don't know.
Murdaugh, you were not aware of any primaries for president?
No, I was not.
Okay.
No, I was not. No, I was not.
Okay.
And we know a little bit about Kamala Harris. I mean, Joe Biden should have thrown the towels for next term 18 months ago, so the Democrat can use the democratic process of everybody come to the table and tell us what they're going to do as a president. That opportunity was taken away from us till this weekend.
How is that?
Hang on,
Murdaad. Let me press you on that. How was that taken away from you? We did have primary elections. Democrats chose, by and large, not to run. There was one congressman who ran. There was a Marianne Williamson, an author and a self-help guru. They ran. They were in the races. How can it be that you did not know there was a primary? That is unclear to me, but to suggest there was not one when there was is just do you remember when there was a Republican primary over the past year and Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, they all ran. Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, they all ran against Donald Trump. Do you remember that happening?
Yes, because I saw the debate on the TV, but I didn't see on the Democrat side. But besides, if anybody wants to run a sitting president, you think DNC going to give them allow them to do that?
Of course, sure, absolutely. Anyone can run who chooses to run.
Well, then why they automatically put Harris on top of the ticket? Why they don't have an open process and have the debate in the next 3 weeks so delegate can decide freely on a convention rather than say, well, he decided, he waited 2 weeks ago. He said, if all God mighty come and tell me, I may do that. But suddenly, as soon as the donor said, we are not going to give a penny, we are not going to put the bad money behind the bad money, and we are not going to even support you guys on the House and the Senate, suddenly everything changed, and the Kamala Harris, by default, become a presidential candidate. This is not democratic process.
Okay, so
this
let
is
me,
not democracy.
Well, let me respond to you there, Murdaad. For
okay,
one,
on
there
that.
Was a primary process. It's been going on for the last year. Democrats were welcome to come forward. Democrats like Dean Phillips, congressman from Minnesota, I believe, did come forward. I mentioned Marianne Williamson. She did come forward. For a time, Bobby Kennedy Jr. came forward as a Democrat and then decided he did not want to run in the Democratic primary, so he decided to run as an independent. We did have a primary. I'm sorry that you didn't hear about it. We talked about it every day on this show just about over the past year. And right now, it is an open convention. If other Democrats wish to step forward, they may do so. Joe Biden has released his candidates, essentially. They can vote for whoever they want to vote for. How is that not an open democratic process?
Well, I don't think you're correct on saying this is an open process, because even the DNC is saying that we are not going to have an open process. We already made the selection. The delegates
are there. No, they're not.
Wait a minute. Wait, how about this? Bernie Sanders in 2020, when they asked him if he's going to run or not, he said, if Biden is not going to run, I'm going to run. So Biden keep everybody hanging till this weekend. And those candidates that could bring the idea to the table, like Bernie Sanders, and demand that and push the Democratic Party toward those demand, were not given the opportunity. And now we don't know much about Kamala Harris, with the exception of she was the general attorney of California and the district attorney, and she put 1,900 people behind the jail for carrying a joint of joint or doing something with the marijuana.
Okay.
And
so,
this person now suddenly become a presidential candidate. And as of today, when you listen to the corporate media, what they are saying is, okay, we already have $88 million that Kamala Harris is going to run. They shove it in our throat. Kamala Harris is not a legitimate candidate unless she earn it. She said earn it and win it,
right.
But her supporters today on Democracy Now, they were saying, no, She's a candidate. She has already earned that. No, she does. She has not earned it. We want to hear the other candidate. We want to make the best.
Okay. Well, right now I got you. I got you, Murdad. Yeah. The fact is, there was a process. It was, you know, you can certainly criticize the process, but there was a process. The fact that you didn't know there was a primary is very troubling to me, and it makes almost no sense. But there was a process, and, you know, 14 million folks voted for Joe Biden knowing that Kamala Harris was going to be his vice president. They voted for him. 81 million voted for Joe Biden in 2020, knowing that if something happened to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris would be taking his place. And again, Bernie Sanders, if he would like, he could step up and he can still run in Chicago in a month or so time. It takes, I think you have to get something like 300 signatures, which is pretty easy. Should be easy for Bernie Sanders to get in an hour if he wanted to. Listen, that's the process. That's the Democratic Party is a private party. They can do whatever they want, much as the Republican Party can do whatever they want. That's what they've chosen to do. This is following that process. You might not like that process, but before I let you go, Murdad, we already lost. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I will say that I want to make sure that it's clear that, you know, Harris was already a candidate on the ballot. You know, he was saying that now she's suddenly a candidate. She was already a candidate. She's already on. She was already a candidate of, you know, in the
as the vice presidential candidate,
okay. And that, you know, she has not been selected as the Democratic Party nominee yet. They're just saying, hey, we endorse her. It's just that Biden endorsed her, and that has brought about this flood of endorsement. But she is not yet the Democratic Party's nominee.
818-985-KPFK. Let me go to John in Sun Valley. Hey, John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, John.
I will say that this Kamala has a lot of things going for her. I mean, first off, she's not Trump. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. Second thing is she's a woman. But then again, Hillary was a woman, and Madeleine Albright was a woman. So that doesn't mean much. But really, she's black. She's black. Wait a second. Obama is black, but mm-hmm. a lot of people called him Bush dark.
Okay.
Anyway, I must have missed that
during the 8 years of Barack Obama, but I take your word for it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
She does know what's going on.
Okay.
Hopefully she won't go to war the way Biden would like to. I mean, national defense needs to be thought of more than just military exercise.
Where, by the way, John, where would John
needed John be thought of?
John, yeah. Where would Biden's had a chance to go to war for the past 4 years? Where would he like to go to war that he didn't?
Oh, he's gone to war in Gaza, and he's gone to war in
he's gone
Ukraine.
To war. Okay.
Just,
he's
know,
gone
indirectly.
To war. Okay.
Indirectly.
Well, then I guess you've gone to war in Ukraine because you supported.
Factors okay. Make money, and the vested interests of this country are the ones who basically benefit from all the national defense of this country.
Okay.
They've been too big to fail. But anyway, I guess what Kamala really does have going for her is she's not Trump, and that's what makes a two-party system a bad choice. Of just bad and worse. And that's one of the reasons, but she'll probably beat Trump because she's, you know, so.
Well, I don't know if she will or not, John, but, will you be supporting her?
I'll vote for Cornel West.
And do you think that will help keep Donald Trump out of office?
Oh, I think Kamala is going to have enough, how would I say it? Wind beneath her wings to get there.
So if she doesn't, because there was a lot of people who felt like you in 2016, that, my vote's
God.
Not
yeah,
needed, I'll vote for a third party.
So, a shade of Nader, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, no, I'm saying that.
I'm about a two-party system.
Well,
if people try to take part, they're blamed for being spoiled.
I'm not blaming you for anything. I'm John.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, John, I'm not blaming you for anything. I was just asking if it results, if that vote for a third party candidate results in Donald Trump taking office again, you're okay with that, right?
I'm not okay with Trump. What made you think that?
Well, I'm just asking why you would make a vote for someone in Cornel West's case. It does not appear like he's going to get the national support to actually win the presidency or electoral vote.
I'm sick and tired of the two-party system, which you're a big part of, sir.
That I am a big part of. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate that call. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to our old friend Roger is in Minneapolis. Hey, Roger, welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. I'll manage to turn down my vociferousness meter for this call.
If you must.
Last one was pegged. But the message remains the same. We need to vote for the package of positions that does not represent the institution of full-blown fascism in our country. And I think that, in fact, the accession of Kamala to probably be head of the ticket is a positive development. I think that it is a good idea for there to be a certain suspension around as the word is being bandied about coronating Kamala. The idea of her earning this is good. I don't, however, want to see a very messy process at a convention, but I am mildly surprised that people managed to drum Biden out of office. Alan Lichtman, the historian with his 13 keys, feels that there's still a pathway for Kamala to win.
Yeah.
It's not as clear because the incumbency pathway is not available. Prior to the announcement yesterday, what Lichtman was pointing out was that he thought that the right way for this to proceed was for Kamala to accede to the presidency after, I believe it was after the Democratic convention.
For Biden to resign and then for her to take his place, and then she becomes the incumbent, which is one of the 13 keys that Alan Lichtman has used to correctly predict the last 9 out of 10 the winners in the last 9 out of 10 presidential elections, based on these certain keys and incumbency is one of the keys that gives you an advantage in this particular thing. By the way, he got 9 out of 10 right. The only one he got wrong was in the year 2000 when he said Al Gore was going to win, and arguably Al Gore did win. Roger, before I let you go, two questions really quickly for you because I'm coming up on the top of the clock, so just a quick answer here. One, as I recall, you called in a couple of weeks ago. You were furious about the idea of Joe Biden stepping down. What changed?
Oh, no, I was only no. I just felt that the drumbeat was very unconstructive, and I still do.
Okay.
I feel that more than anything, this was a media generated process. I thought it was quite disgusting. I think that Biden could easily and more easily than Kamala have certainly won a second term. Kamala will positively wipe the floor with Trump a debate.
Okay, we will see.
I felt that the drumbeat was terrible. Certainly have come around in the last few months to recognizing how much Kamala has grown. And I really think that she'll be a very capable president of the United States.
All right, I gotta go, Roger.
I will vote for her most vociferous.
Okay, Roger, I gotta get out, but very quickly, your choice for her vice president?
I think Andy Beshear is the obvious one.
Andy Beshear, governor of two-term governor of Kentucky, who won by about 6 points, I think, both times that he ran in Kentucky, even while Donald Trump won that state by 26 points. Thanks for that call, Roger. Good to hear from you, my friend. And finally, Teresa in Pomona. Teresa, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much for your programming. And I just want to say Kamala Harris, and Gavin Newsom would make the sophisticated, intelligent, beautiful representation of the United States for president and vice president. And that old man now, he's running for president. He's a candidate, Mr. Old Trump. He's too old.
Donald Trump, yeah.
He's too old. That's all I got to say. But thank you for your programming. And I knew Gavin Newsom. They will win.
There you go. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate that. That's another vote for Kamala and Gavin Newsom, apparently, against that old man who's running on the Republican side, who will, by the way, if he wins another term, he would be older than Joe Biden is right now at the end of his term. Go figure. All right, do we have time to get one? I don't think we're going to have any time. Do we have time to get some more? Let me get really quick. William in Redondo Beach. I got about 30 seconds for you, brother. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
I'll try. How you doing, Brian?
Brad, I'm okay. Are you at the shooting range?
No, I'm not, actually. Sorry about that. Let me just...
I got 30 seconds for you, brother. What you got for me?
Well, look, I just wanted to say that I appreciate your show. I don't usually listen to the radio, but I'm on right now, and I heard it talking. So I just want to say that, I think we pulled a lot away from God and Jesus, and I think what Donald Trump is doing is letting people's hearts talk, and he's got a platform to do that. And I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but I think God chooses who he chooses. And at this point in life and where we're at, God chose, once again, he chose Solomon, and he wasn't the best man. But he drove us towards the way that we need to go as a people. And I believe in my heart that that's the way that God is choosing the man, Donald Trump, no matter people like him, dislike him.
I got to get out because we're at the top of the hour. By the way, who did God choose in 2020 to be the president, William? Quick.
He chose wherever he chose.
Who did he choose?
I don't know. You know it. I guess I know it, too.
Okay. Thanks, William. I appreciate that call. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. You can drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, you will find me at TheBradBlog. I think that's it. Until we meet again, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.